Okay, well, I'd like to start this morning by reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 to 38. Matthew 5, 33 to 38. This is Jesus speaking in the Sermon on the Mount. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn." But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Now, over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit in order that we can cultivate them and become more like Jesus, and also to become more a community which reflects faithfully the kingdom of God, and to become a people through whom the Spirit will work in power. We're already very encouragingly seeing the Spirit moving in life-changing power, even if some of it might be behind the scenes, but it's there. But I think we all would like more. And the more we get in tune with the Spirit, then the more we're going to see him in action. And cultivating the fruit is one way of getting in tune with the Holy Spirit. And today, the aspect of the fruit we're going to look at is faithfulness. Now, the word faithfulness and the word faith, in fact, are the same word in the original Hebrew, and I think in the Greek as well. But the word emunah, which is translated one or the other depending on context, it has this root meaning of steadfastness, firmness, trustworthiness, solidity, reliability, integrity, things like that. It's the same root as the word amen comes from, which means, you know, let it stand firm. And also the word emet, which means truth, something which is solid and which isn't going to move if it's pushed. So faithfulness is the characteristic, really, of being trustworthy. And faith is the act of trusting or acting on the belief that something or someone else is trustworthy and reliable. And faithfulness is a characteristic of God. We've just sung that hymn which quotes from the Book of Lamentations, "Great is thy faithfulness, Rabba Emunatecha," which just shows us who God is, and remembering that those words were said during the time of exile when things were not going very well and people could have thought that perhaps God wasn't with them at the time. And yet that's new every morning, "Great is thy faithfulness." And another scripture which I like very much, it's Numbers 23:19, which talks about God's characteristic of faithfulness. And it says this: "God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of Adam that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it?" This is a characteristic of God. And as followers and as imitators of God, then that should be true of us as well. Even though we are sons and daughters of Adam, nevertheless, we can aspire to doing what we say we do and fulfilling what we speak. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, in the part which I read just a minute ago, we have this well-known instruction that we're not supposed to take oaths. And this is less to do with swearing affidavits, which other people might want us to do for their benefit, as being true to our word. If we're faithful, then it should be a case of what you see is what you get. Our word should be our bond. If we need to emphasize our sincerity by using an oath, then it really denies that we are as faithful as we should be. Anything beyond just our word being our bond comes from evil. The verse which Jesus quotes, he says that those of old were told such and such. We find that in Deuteronomy 23, and it's actually quite interesting. Deuteronomy 23:21 says this: If you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay fulfilling it. For the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. But if you refrain from vowing, you shall not be guilty of sin. You shall be careful to do what has passed your lips, for you have voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised with your mouth. And we can see here that it's not so much what we do that is considered sinful. It's saying we're going to do something and then not doing it. If the promise is never made, then there's no problem. But to be unfaithful to what we say, to promise something, to not do it, then that is where there is a difficulty. If we remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira, their sin wasn't that they chose not to give everything to God. What their sin was to say that they were going to give everything to God and then not doing it. It was a deception, their lack of faithfulness, which was censured, not what they actually did. And we see here, and we'll see later on, that faithfulness is more important than achievement or performance. And in a way, there's nothing really surprising here. I think most of us would rather we knew where we stood with somebody, even if that person didn't do very much, than to be let down by somebody, even if they did a great deal in other contexts. Another aspect of faithfulness is that as a fruit, it must sort of be a part of us. It must permeate our whole being. And therefore, it's just as important to be faithful in small things as in big ones. If we're not, then we're building on very flimsy foundations. If we think that it's okay not to be faithful if it's just a little thing, but it is important to be faithful when it's something large, then probably our motivation is more to do with a sense of duty or even a sense of guilt rather than something which comes out of our personality, out of our heart. But fruit is a part of us. It's not something which is added on. And there's several verses, several scriptures which talk about the importance of being faithful in small things. And I'll just read two of them. First of all, Luke 16. We see these words. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? And another one in Matthew 25, the story of the talents. I'll just read a part of it since it's well known, but within that story we get these words. The man with the two talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two talents. See, I have gained two more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. It may seem that small things are unimportant, but that is not so. It does show what's in our hearts, and faithfulness by definition is consistent, and therefore it works through small and large. And again, in these two passages, we see that faithfulness is more important than results. The two talents person was commended just as much as a 10-talent person, even though the results weren't as great. It was because they were faithful to what they'd been given. Jesus said while he was on earth, that when he came back, will he find faith on earth, or faithfulness, it could be translated, on the earth. He wouldn't be looking for prosperity or high achievement or works of power or even correct doctrine. But faith, or faithfulness, is what he would be looking for. It's that important. If God wants results, then he can achieve them. He doesn't need us to produce results. But faithfulness is something only we can give him. Faithfulness isn't something which can be sort of taken or forced. If we offer him our faithfulness, then that's something which we can give to him, which he can't do for himself, even though he is God. It's important to be faithful to each other. By doing so, we are following Christ, the faithful one. And it's also a characteristic of a healthy and a strong community. And if we say we're going to do something, then it's vital that we don't let each other down. A Christian community in particular is characterized by honoring and valuing of each other. And to honor each other sufficiently that we don't treat what we say to each other lightly. And it's even more important than being faithful to each other that to be faithful to God. Because as Christians, we've made a commitment to follow Jesus. We've made a covenant with him. And faithfulness means that having made such a commitment, that we're going to stick to it. Luke 8:15, again, I'll just extract from a very well-known parable, the parable of the sower. Verse 15 says this, "And as for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience." It's this holding on, this steadfastness, this faithfulness, which is a characteristic of the one who receives the word and produces fruit. And again, in this verse we've seen before, that the different aspects of the fruit are all connected. Here we see patience is being mentioned, and without patience, it's very hard to show faithfulness, as it tends to require that kind of background patience. It's all connected, and the fruit all grow together, not just one part and not another. And there are going to be times when we're tempted to turn away from Christ, perhaps to give up because things are either too hard, too tough, or conversely, and maybe perversely, too good when things are going really well. That's normal. I think every Christian will experience that at some time. Faithfulness means resisting that temptation and pressing on anyway with God's help. This temptation can happen when the times are tough, when things are going bad, when we wonder whether God is really with us. And the temptation to think maybe he's not, and therefore not to take so much notice of him. But also, the more subtle temptation perhaps to drift away from God when things are going very well. And we can be distracted from God by the very gifts and blessings that he has given us. And there is a need to guard against both. There's nothing sort of new or modern about that. If we look back to the time when the Israelites were in the desert, just before they were about to enter the promised land, there was a prophecy given, which basically said, when things are going well, you're going to turn away from God. And I'll read a part of that from Deuteronomy 32. Although it's all written in the past tense, it is a prophecy for the future. It's the so-called prophetic perfect. It's written from the perspective of somebody looking back. These words, "But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, stout and sleek. Then he forsook God who made him and scoffed at the rock of his salvation. They stirred him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons that were no gods, to gods they had never known, to new gods that had come recently, whom your fathers had never dreaded. You were unmindful of the rock that bore you, and you forgot the God who gave you birth. The Lord saw it and spurned them because of the provocation of his sons and his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end will be, for they are a perverse generation, children in whom there is no faithfulness." And then on the other side of the story, just after the Israelites had left Egypt, we see they went through a tough time and they ran out of water, basically. And their response was to have a go, first of all, at Moses and basically at God who'd led them out. And bear in mind that this is only a few weeks after they had seen the miracle of the Red Sea being parted and their escape from Egypt. This was in between the journey from Egypt to Sinai, which was a six-week journey. But we see these words. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages according to the commandment of the Lord and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why do you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So either way, whether things are very good or perhaps things are tough, it seems to be the human temptation to drift away from the source of our life. And faithfulness basically means that in either situation, we keep on we keep our eyes fixed on the Lord, and don't do that. It means to be able to say with St. Paul in Philippians 4, "I have learned in whatever situation I am in to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." To keep our eyes fixed on the Lord, regardless of the circumstance, to look beyond them, whether they're good, bad, boringly mediocre, whatever, but to keep our eyes focused beyond them at the eternal perspective, which is not always easy, but faithfulness isn't necessarily easy, but it's what we're called to do. In any situation we're in, whether it's good, bad, or boring, or whatever, we have the choice either to remain faithful to God or to turn away from him. It's a choice between life and death, basically. At every point, we can, if we choose to be faithful, then we're growing in our lives. If we turn away, then we're getting less life, we're moving away from that. If we turn away, then basically we're going to shrivel like a plant which chooses to be out of the way of the sun. But if we're faithful, if we remain faithful, we'll grow and we will thrive. Basically because God can use any situation for growth so long as we offer it to him. And if times are tough, then turn to the Lord and say, "Okay, I receive that from you. Turn this into something creative. Make good out of it." Because even if it's a bad thing, which God didn't send, he can take it and transform it, because that's the sort of thing God does. But if we resent it and turn away from God, then that isn't going to happen. The choice is ours, and making the right choice might be a difficult thing, but the right choice is a clear thing. The path is well marked. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a faithful God, that you are faithful to us, even if we lack faith ourselves. And we thank you, Lord, that you've called us to be faithful to each other and faithful to you. And we pray, Lord, that you will cause the fruit of faithfulness to grow in each of us. Help us, Lord, to be mindful at all times of each other and of you, and not to be distracted or dismayed either by challenges or by blessings, but in all circumstances to give you the glory and to receive your life-giving Spirit. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Christ made a statement such as being faithful is putting God at the center and keeping God at the center of our lives. We're going to sing, Jesus, be the center. Be my source. Be my light. Jesus. Amen. Would you like to stand and sing?
Jesus, be the center, be my source, be my life, Jesus. Jesus, be the center, be my source, be my God. Be the fire in my heart, be the wind in these sails, be the reason that I live, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, be my vision.
Be the fire.
Be the fire in my heart. Be the wind in these sails. Be the reason that I live. Jesus, Jesus.
Fire in my heart.
Be the fire in my heart. Be the wind in these sails. Be the reason that I live. Jesus, Jesus.
Please be the center.
Men of faith, rise up and sing of the great and glorious King. You are strong when you feel weak, in your brokenness complete. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior of all, Lord of heaven and earth.
Rise up, women of the truth, sing a song with broken hearts. Who can know the healing
fallen deeper in love with you, you learn the truth on our lips. Rise up, church, with golden wings. Fill its praise with songs again. To a God who reigns on high, by his grace again we'll fly.
As we go, let us go in peace as the faithful servants of the Lord Most High. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.